Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. Not actually sure how you're supposed to speak after singing those words. Calvary covers it all. Amen. Good morning, Moss Vale. Good morning. It's great to be in church today, and good morning to all of our viewers joining us online on YouTube. It's great to be here this morning. Let's just settle our hearts just now as we come before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, our God, that Calvary does indeed cover it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your blood was shed for each and every one of us. And we're here today. We're alive today. We're breathing today because Calvary covers it all. And we are so grateful. We will be eternally grateful, Jesus. And we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for the freedom in which we have to enter into your courts with praise. And as we open up your word, we pray that it would be for your glory today and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever heard it being said of someone that when they walk into the room, they light up? Just like a smile lights up a face. Perhaps that's been said about you. That when you enter the classroom, when you enter the workspace, the surgery, the hospital, the building site, that you light it up, that you are a light bearer. That before you entered that place, that workspace, it was perhaps dark and dreary. Before you entered, that conversation was toxic, gossipy, unhealthy. But just by being there, you changed the atmosphere. What is that light? Where does it come from? That light that has the power to change. That light that has the power to transform. Has the power to transform an unhealthy, toxic conversation into a peace-filled, love-filled conversation. That presence has power and influence, and in a good way. Where does it come from? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." Never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world, and he can shine his light into the darkest of situations and circumstances. When Jesus walks into the room, he has the power to change the atmosphere. He can break down the walls. He can walk through locked doors, and he can enter into those dark spaces and places within our lives that have kept us locked up, like fear, like anxiety, like depression, like shame, because Jesus is the light of the world. The good news today is he has that power to enter into those spaces and those places in your life that have kept you locked up, and he can bring that light of transformation to you today. Today I want to look at three, maybe four, depending on my time, times when Jesus entered the room and he transformed the individual and the individuals within that room as he brought his light of transformation. And you know what his light of transformation brought? It brought hope and peace and joy. We sung it there in Peter's song, "There is a river." He wrote that song. Love, peace, joy, hope, healing, power. Who would like some of that today? So let's turn to scripture then. If you turn with me now to the book of John, the Gospel of John, you'll find it in the New Testament. We will read that it's Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning after the crucifixion. Now, not all of the followers of Jesus stuck around for the crucifixion. that happened on the Friday. The Bible tells us that they gathered in one locked room. We're going to read that shortly in verse 19. However, the opening verse of John 20 records one of the followers, Mary, who was at the crucifixion, who did witness the death of Jesus. We read here of Mary getting up in the middle of the night. I wonder if you were up in the middle of the night. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So there are a few variations to this story. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, actually records Mary getting up at dawn, where here in John's Gospel, we read that it's still dark. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read that Mary was not alone, but joined by the others. Now, one commentator suggests that she made this trip alone, but once she saw that the stone was rolled away, she returned to the others to tell them about what she had seen. And that is quite accurate, because we know that Peter and the other disciple, in hearing this news, they ran to the tomb. So it's possible that at this point she was then joined by the other women. But what I'm really interested in today, or what I'm more interested in today, is why was she up at this time? In the morning or in the middle of the night? Why did Mary leave this locked room to go to the place where Jesus was buried? Why? The Bible tells us that the women came with their fragrant spices to anoint the body. So that's one reason, perhaps, why Mary is there at this time. When we return to our opening verse in John, we establish that Mary left this room, either in the middle of the night or at dawn. She left at the earliest permissible moment under Sabbath regulations. But I want to know today, why? That's the questions I'll ask God when I'm reading the Bible. But why, Jesus? Why did she choose to leave at this particular time? Well, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but stick with me here for a moment. Mary loved Jesus. She loved Jesus with all of her heart. She faithfully followed Jesus. He had saved this woman from a life of torment. He was her lover of her soul. He was our best friend. He was our savior. He was our master. He was our teacher. And he was now gone. And Mary was devastated, locked up in that upper room, but locked in her grief, in her sorrow, and in her despair. And perhaps this morning you know what those emotions feel like. Perhaps you've entered this place today and your heart is filled with sorrow. Mary has just lost the love of her life, her best friend, the only one who saw her for who she really is, who forgave her, who loved her, who healed her, and now he is gone. And as I thought about this, as I thought about Mary lying there in her bed asleep, I pondered the fact, church, that perhaps Mary hadn't been to sleep at all. That Mary couldn't sleep as she lay awake that night, tossing and turning in the darkness. And perhaps you know what that feels like also. You know what it feels like to toss and turn in the middle of the night, when you think you're the only one that's awake, that everyone else is asleep. It's the darkest place to be. You're tossing, you're turning, you're alone in the darkness with your own fears and worries. It's a scary place at times. It's a lonely place at times. I'm speaking to someone this morning, you know exactly what this feels like. I believe Mary, though, in her darkest moment, she knew the answer to her pain. I need to be with Jesus in the middle of the night, in the midst of your darkest moment in pain, I need to be with Jesus. The hope of Jesus entered Mary's dark room that night. The love of Jesus entered her dark thoughts that night and led Mary out of darkness into the light of the new day. She got to see that new day dawning because she was in search of Jesus. Mary, as we know, went to the tomb. She allowed the light of the world to enter into her dark space of despair. And guess what? Hope was restored. And Mary got to see the most spectacular miracle. We know that she arrives at the tomb early. We know of the empty grave. We've just celebrated Easter. There's the grave clothes. There's the conversation with the angels. She's amazed. She runs back. She tells the others. We know that Peter and the other disciple run to the tomb. You've got the women running with their spices. But here's the most spectacular moment. Mary sees Jesus. She sees Jesus up close and personal. Reading from verse 15. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. He'd be the most splendid gardener you've ever met, wouldn't he? She said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him in Aramaic. She cries out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God, your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus is the light of the world, and he entered Mary's dark room that night. She did not allow fear, church, to keep her locked up in that room. She had to be with Jesus. And she was the first person. She was the first person to witness the risen Savior. She was also the first person to share that good news that Jesus is alive. What a moment. What a privilege for Mary. Jesus entered her dark room and transformed her life. He moved her to get up from her circumstances, to get up from that dark situation and come to him, because he is the light of the world. And he brought Mary hope. Church, do you find yourself in a dark place right now? That you yourself have been wrestling in the dark, in the night, alone in your despair, in your grief, in your sorrow. Can I encourage you, like Mary, to come to Jesus? To come to Jesus this morning and allow Jesus to heal those broken pieces in your life. Allow Jesus to comfort you in your grief. You know, grief is an overwhelming loss. It may be a physical loss, that someone you love has died, they've passed on. Or maybe it's the loss of a relationship, a marriage that has broken down. Perhaps for you today, it's a severed friendship. It's that you have lost. Perhaps this morning, it's the loss of your health. That you're here today or watching online today, you can't actually be here today because of your health. You're battling with your health and you're grieving over that. Perhaps you know the pain of losing a child, that your arms feel empty due to miscarriage. You've lost a baby. Church, Jesus not only knows you by name, but he also knows your pain. Just as he called to Mary by name in the garden, he calls your name this morning. He will meet you in that place of pain and distress. He He will come to you in the middle of the night in the darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. God's words, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I'm going to say that again. He says, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Though they're through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43. Jesus, the Savior of the world, walked into Mary's pain, and he brought hope. Because Jesus is hope. And he is still walking into rooms today. He is still walking into places of darkness today. He is still walking into people's hearts today. For he is the hope. We have his hope as an anchor, which is firm and secure. So today, do you know Jesus as your personal hope? For he is here today. Perhaps today is the day that you allow Jesus to walk into the room. Today is the day that you allow Jesus to walk into your heart, just like Mary did. Now let's turn to the others, the disciples. We read of what happens later in the day. So we know that Peter and the other disciple, they ran to the tomb. They wanted to see what Mary had seen earlier, and we'll read that there in verse 3. Then in verse 19, we read that the disciples are together in a locked room. Let's read that from 19 to 24. Madeline will put it on the screen. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, in fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He says it again. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." So here we have the disciples, and they are locked up in a room together. Now, nobody's locked them in there. They've done that themselves. Now, I actually happen to think it's a good thing that they're all together, that they've stayed together with the exception of Thomas, but we'll come back to him. Because Jesus actually commanded them to love one another, didn't he? It's one of the last things that he spoke to them before his death. Love one another. Take care of one another. So it's a good thing, actually. It's a good thing that they've stayed together. They've come together in this room. However, it's not a good place that the disciples find themselves emotionally right now. Like Mary, they're experiencing all the same emotions of grief, like I spoke about earlier. They have lost their master. They have lost their friend. They too are filled with sorrow, but they're also struggling with disbelief. They're also battling with disappointment. And I wonder if that's what's weighing you down right now, overwhelmed with disappointment and disbelief. You see, they believed that Jesus was the one to save them, the one that would lead them out of oppression. They had been filled with such enthusiasm for the future. They believed that Jesus was going to bring about for them, and now he's gone. He's no longer with them, and they feel abandoned. And they are also afraid for their life. So fear, disappointment, disbelief, they are all complex emotions. And the Bible says that the heart is sick when this sets in. There is a heart sickness. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When your hopes and dreams don't turn out how you planned or prayed or expected, when it doesn't happen for you and you're feeling alone and abandoned, I wonder if that's how you feel this morning. That relationship didn't turn out quite as you'd expected. The dream job didn't materialize. The perfect home, the perfect husband, the perfect wife, the perfect child. That's not what you had planned. I wonder if you're experiencing a heart sickness this morning. Well, this is how the disciples were feeling. Not only that, but they're afraid. Do you know what it feels like to be afraid? What if they know that we were the ones that were with Jesus? What if they find out that we were the ones that were in the garden with Jesus? And we already know that this is going through Peter's mind, don't we? Because we know that he's already been spotted. How did Peter respond to this? Well, he denied even knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. So if we just take Peter, for instance, he's grieving, he's disappointed, he's afraid, he's filled with unbelief. He's seen this empty tomb, what on earth is going on? And just to add to that, he's feeling ashamed. He's filled with shame because he denied even knowing Jesus. So they've retreated. They've shut the doors. They've locked themselves in. I wonder if that's what you do. You shut the doors. You lock up your heart. You turn the key. You throw it away. I don't want to look at that. I don't want anyone to see this. I don't want anyone to know that I'm hurting, I'm grieving, I'm filled with sorrow right now. Just bolt down the door. You know, you may have done a good job at hiding for the world, but you cannot hide from Jesus. Jesus can break down the walls. In fact, Jesus can walk through the doors. He has the power to transform the room. He can break down the doors that you've built up around your heart and mind. We read that Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." Church, in the midst of fear and disappointment, Jesus brings the peace because he is the peace. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When Jesus walks into the room, he brings peace. When he enters your heart, he blesses you with peace. And it's not the peace that the world gives. No, it's a very download of peace from the very throne room of heaven. Jesus is peace. The worldly peace relies on the power of self. Jesus' peace relies on Jesus. And you can trust in Jesus this morning. Another difference between worldly peace and the peace that Jesus brings is this world strives to find the purpose in suffering. Why? Whereas the peace that Jesus brings, you might never know the answer to why, but you will have the peace in the midst of the storm. You have the peace in the middle of the trial. He is the calm and the peace in the storm. And Christ's peace, well, it's eternal. Worldly peace is fleeting. And you know what else Jesus brings when he enters the room? And our wonderful pastor will like this one. Jesus brings the joy. Verse 20, "As he spoke to them, he showed them the wounds in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord." When Jesus enters the room, he brings the joy. When Jesus enters your life, he fills you with joy. Joy and gladness in place of despair and grief. And we know that joy is not just happiness. It's way, way deeper than happiness. It's not a byproduct of happiness. Joy is something deeper. Joy is something grander. Joy is actually a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit that pours out of the life of a believer. You can read that in your own time in Galatians 5. Out of that person springs forth joy. Because Jesus has entered their life. No matter what you're going through, even the trials of life, even when you don't feel happy, even when you don't feel like smiling, you will always have joy when you have Jesus. You'll have a joy deep, deep down in your heart. It is therefore possible to experience joy in the middle of difficult times. It's possible to feel joy in spite of the grief and uncertainty, because joy doesn't need a smile or laughter. Joy transforms difficult situations into blessings, and joy turns heartache into a time of thanksgiving and gratitude. Lord, I don't know why I'm in this right now. Lord, I don't know what I'm going through right now, but I know that you're with me, and therefore I have the joy of the Lord. Don't get excited up here. You might break the furniture. So do you have the joy of the Lord this morning in your heart? And when Jesus walks into the room, he fills us with that joy. Okay, so far, what have we looked at? When Jesus walks into the room, he brings hope. He brings healing. He fills us with his peace, and he fills us with his joy. What else? Because there's more. We read there that the disciples were in that locked room, everyone except Thomas. Now we know that Thomas had a few nicknames, Didymus, the twin, but he's also known as Doubting Thomas. I wonder if there's any Doubting Thomases in the church this morning. We read there that he didn't believe the others. Unless I see it for myself, unless I can put my fingers in his hands and in his side, then I'm not going to believe. What does Jesus do with our unbelief? What does Jesus do when we are filled with doubt? Does Jesus grow impatient with us? Does he turn his back on us? Does he punish us? No. Jesus turned up for Thomas. Jesus turned up just for Thomas. Verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked again, Jesus came and he stood among them. And again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus came back. He once again entered through the locked doors. This time, he entered through the locked doors of Thomas's heart, which was filled with doubt and disbelief. Why does he do that? He does it because he loves us. This morning, perhaps you're here and you've turned up today. Perhaps you're new to church. Perhaps you're still not convinced with all of this. Perhaps you're unsure of all of this. You're still pondering, is this real? Is Jesus alive? Does he really love me? Well, he showed up for Thomas, for that's what he does. Jesus shows up for the one. He shows up for the one. In fact, he taught us this. He taught us to show up for the one. Luke 15, verse 4, I'm not going to read it, but it's the parable of the lost sheep. You know the story well. He will leave the 99 in search of that one lost, wandering sheep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that that was me, Jesus. Thank you that you showed up just for me. And perhaps you're that lost sheep this morning, wandering around in your unbelief. Well, Jesus showed up for Thomas, and he allowed him that moment to put his fingers in his palms. Jesus said to Thomas that he's blessed because he believes now that he sees. But he goes on to say that even greater blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. That's you today. That's you this morning. For the man or the woman in the congregation this morning that came filled with doubt and unbelief, that Jesus is here and he does love you. He showed up today just for you. You're not here by accident. He brought you here because he wants to bless you with hope and with peace and fill you with joy and restore your faith. That's what he does. That's what Jesus does when he enters the room. So do you believe? Do you believe? Today is the day that you open the door of your heart and say, "Jesus, I believe." You know, on this occasion, Jesus entered into the room through the physical locked doors, but Jesus has the power to break the doors down, and Jesus has the power to walk through closed doors, and he has the power to enter into those locked doors that we've built up around our hearts and our minds, because he brings power. And Jesus transforms the room. Jesus has that power. Jesus has that power of transformation. So let's now turn now to another time where Jesus enters the room and just look at the power that he brings. Acts 2, verse 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together again in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying; those were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, it's easy to say, Egypt and the parts of Libya near the Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues." Amazed, perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" Well, Jesus told them, "Wait. Wait for the coming of the promised gift." Acts 1:4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised, which you may have heard me speak about." What was the gift? Well, we know that Jesus was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. He prepared them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He told them a way back, "It is good for you that I go on so that the Spirit can come. Very truly, I tell you, it is for good that I am going away. Unless I go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." In the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came upon a person briefly in that moment. But here Jesus enters the room and he fills their hearts and minds with the Holy Spirit for good. Church, God sent his Son, and his Son, Jesus Christ, he gave us his Spirit. Amen. And it's his Spirit, the Advocate, the Helper, the Agent, the Counselor, whatever you want to call him. It's his Spirit that entered into that dark room that night and filled them with power. And it's the Holy Spirit power, that Greek word, the Paraclete, you know this well, that changed the atmosphere in the room. The Paraclete, Parakletos, a combination of the two words para and kalein, to draw alongside, to call. Jesus has the power, and he came alongside the followers and he gave them the power to live out his purpose for their life. Do you want to know God's purpose for your life? Do you want to be a man or a woman of influence for God, to have that same power running and breathing in and through your life? Then receive the Spirit of God. Receive the Holy Spirit, because it's his Spirit that has the power to change your life. And you will receive that Spirit. You're wondering, how do I receive that Spirit this morning? You will receive that Spirit when you receive Jesus. But you will receive power. It's written somewhere there on the wall. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the other ends of the earth. And for those of you that know this story, you know that this moment transformed the disciples' lives. They were never the same again after this moment. Peter, immediately in that moment, began to preach with boldness and courage and power like never before. Thousands were saved. The church was established. We read of him there in Acts 2 speaking up. Then Peter stood up. He was walking around with his head down, and now he's standing up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. This is a new Peter. This is a bold Peter. Acts chapter 4, we read of him being filled with the Holy Spirit as he addresses the people again, never the same again. And it wasn't just Peter. All of them, they were transformed by the power of Jesus. They planted the churches. They healed the sick. They gave to the poor because they were filled with that dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. We know that word dunamis in the Greek. It's translated in the English as dynamite. You've heard this being preached in churches for years. It's that explosive strength and ability. That Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift giver extraordinaire. He's the only one that brings the power. Do you want to know your purpose? Do you know your true purpose in life? When you know you're His, when you know you belong to Jesus, when you hear Him calling your name this morning and you say yes to Jesus, you will know your purpose. But you will only know your purpose when you know your identity, when you know that you're His, that you belong to Him. So what are we hearing this morning? We're running out of time. Well, Jesus is the light of the world, and He can enter into the darkest of situations and circumstances that you may find yourself in this morning. And He can bring the peace and the joy and the hope and the healing. And He can restore your faith. And He brings the power. Like Mary, He entered the darkest point of night. He can enter that room and He can bring you out of the darkness into the new day, just like He did for Mary. When Jesus enters the room, He brings the peace, not a worldly peace. No, Jesus is the peace. Just as He entered into that room and filled the disciples with His peace. And not only did He fill them with peace, but He filled them with joy. And when Jesus enters the locked doors of our lives, He can break down the walls of disbelief and doubt, just as He did for Thomas. He will go to great lengths for you. He's already died for you, and He would do it again just for you. And Jesus, when He enters the room, praise the Lord, He brings the power, the Holy Spirit breathing power, the power that has the ability to turn ordinary lives into extraordinary lives for Jesus, the power to live our lives with a purpose, knowing that you're His. With His power and strength living and breathing in and through you. For when you believe and receive, Jesus by His Spirit comes and lives in you. Do you believe it this morning? This morning, church, are you prepared for Jesus to walk into the room? Let me tell you something. Jesus is already here. He's already in the room. He's right beside you this morning. But perhaps you've never opened that very important door to Him. That very important door of your heart. The door of our hearts. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Here I am and I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. Do you hear His voice? Perhaps today's the day that you open your heart to Jesus and begin that relationship with Him. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front out your seats today. We can't do that at the moment. However, what I do want to do this morning is create a space for you. Create a space for you to respond to God's. Has God spoken into your life today? Do you want Jesus to walk into your situation today? Are you looking for Jesus to bring hope into a situation in your life today? Then stand up. If you're looking for Jesus to bring peace into a situation in your life today, then stand up. If you're here today and you're looking for Jesus to bring you healing today, then stand up. If you're in this place today and you're looking for Jesus to transform your life and bring you power so that you can step into the purposes that He's got for your life today, then stand up. If you're in this place today and you're filled with sorrow and grief and you're looking to Jesus to bring you comfort today, then stand up in this place. As the band come back, we want to respond to Jesus. If you're in this place today and you're filled with disbelief and doubt, you're not sure if Jesus is real, but you're saying, Jesus, I want you to enter into my disbelief. I believe, Jesus, help my unbelief. Then stand up in this place today. If you're here today and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but today you recognize that it's the day that you open your heart to Jesus, then I invite you to stand with me now as we pray. Father, we are standing today. We are standing in response to your living word. We have heard you speak. We have heard you speak into our lives today. Lord, like Mary, we bring our pain. We bring our sorrow. We bring our grief. We believe that you're healer. We believe that you're hope. Lord, enter. Enter now into the dark spaces of our hearts, that despair, and bring your light. Shine your light now, Jesus. Shine your light in our heart and our pain. We release our pain to you, Jesus. We release it. And in return, Lord, we ask for hope. We ask for peace. Fill us with joy. Give us your power. Lord, for those that are standing today filled with unbelief, Lord, help us to believe. Shine your light into those areas of confusion, those areas of doubt, those areas of unbelief. And finally, for those who are standing today that want to open that door, that very important door of their heart, and say, Jesus, I believe that you're here, then Lord, I pray that they would pray this prayer with me now. Lord God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. Forgive me, Lord. I am a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart. Come into my life by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stay standing. We're going to worship God together. If God has spoken to you today, if you have given your life to Jesus for the first time today, would you tell someone? Would you tell the person that invited you? Would you come and speak to us? The cross is open after the service. We're here for you. Let's worship Jesus, for he is in the room today. Amen.